Rob wants to know if anybody has prayer requests. If you need a card, if you need one, raise your hand and he'll come around. All right. Vicky mentioned Timbuktu. Just so you know, I teach about Timbuktu. It's in Africa. I never knew where it was at, but I always knew when my dad says, I'm going to kick your butt to Timbuktu, it's going to hurt. So I knew it was a long ways away wherever it was going to be. But it didn't get to where I was adult till I finally knew where it was at. So it would have taken a good kick. Like Art said, I teach history. I thought when I come up here, Art asked, would you talk about the fall of Rome? And I'm thinking, I can do that. I've taught that before. And matter of fact, as I was filling out my lesson plans, tomorrow in class I'm talking about the fall of Rome for seventh graders. So it just kind of falls in place. Now, it doesn't mean that you get the same lessons the seventh graders get, all right, because it's a little bit different. But little nervous up here, so we're kind of go through it. Talk to Angela a little bit. She says, you'll be fine, you'll be fine. It's just like teaching class. You know, I said, well, I don't have to sign bathroom passes, so if you have to go bathroom, just go to the bathroom, and you don't have to ask me, and that's probably the biggest difference. So we'll see. Yeah, you feel better now? Okay. Me too. Talk about the fall of Rome, and before we get to that point, I don't want to talk about, I don't want you to think that I'm some crazy guy that thinks the United States is going to end tomorrow, but there are parallels in history, right? There are parallels in history, and as history students, we can look back and say, this is what happened, and this is the reason for it, and we can compare that to what we're doing today in our own world. And when we talk about the fall of Rome, it's amazing how many parallels there are between the fall of Rome and our country today. But one thing you have to understand, there's three steps in the fall of Rome. In 44 BC, up to 44 BC, Rome was a republic, just like the United States. They elected leaders, except they had two consuls. And those two consuls had to work together. It would be like Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, both being the leaders at the same time. They wouldn't always agree, and they didn't always work well together, all right? And their elections were every year. I don't know about you, but during election season, I get sick and tired of seeing the ads and all that stuff. Every year would be terrible. But in 44 BC, that stops. Julius Caesar becomes the emperor of Rome. He is elected, but then he doesn't want to give it up. And so he uses the strength that he has in his army to be a lifetime leader. And then after that, we get emperors like that. There's no more elections. Another part of the fall of Rome is the split in Rome. About 407, 408 AD, Rome was split into two empires because it's so big, they can't control it all. And so they split it in half. And we get the Byzantine Empire, which would last up until about the early 1900s. And then we have the old Roman Empire that would soon fall apart. All right, and so that eventual fall apart of Rome would be the third step. All right, so there's three different time periods of Rome that would classify, I guess, as the fall of Rome. So go ahead, Jason. Jason's my clicker because I don't have my clicker. One of the things I want you to keep in mind is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 and 2, it says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that they may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. I think it's important, is sometimes we're little members of the greater country, right? And we say, what can we do? Well, as Christians, we can do a lot. We need to pray for our leaders. Whether it's our local leaders here in town, from our mayor and city council, to the state level, to the national level, and I think it's most important, you pray for the ones that you don't agree with. I think they need prayer the most. And I think a lot of our politicians just need prayer. Need prayer, and they need to turn more to God, and I think that would help things out a lot. So I've got eight things I want to talk about. I always promise I'll try to be really quick up here because I just want to be quick. So, Jason, go ahead. The cost of elections. Caesar, when he was running for office before he became emperor, when he was running for consul, he spent so much money and borrowed so much money, he told his friends, if I don't win, I'm going to be broke. But if I win, I'll be the richest man in Rome. Our elections last time cost over $6.5 billion for elections. $6.5 billion. And most of that comes from special interest groups on one side or the other. But that's a lot of money to be spent. The thing that really gets me about this and what happens and happening in America in the last few elections, in Roman elections, foreign countries would send enormous amounts of money to help get certain people elected in different offices of Rome. I mean, if that doesn't show you a parallel of what's going on. Personally, I think that anybody running for office should not be able to accept that money. And technically, they're not supposed to, but we know it does. It gets funneled through different things. But to have that interference was a big problem in Rome. When places like Carthage and the Huns and the Visigoths are spending money in order to get the right person elected so Rome doesn't attack them. Well, that sounds familiar. That sounds familiar. Continuous wars. Rome would last for over 1,000 years from the time they start to the time Rome finally is gone. And during that time, they had 200 years of peace. We call that the Pax Romana. It's the time of peace in Rome. That's a lot of time in wars. And wars are expensive. And then today, even wars are even more expensive. I had a friend I graduated from high school with. When the Persian Gulf War started, he and I happened to talk. He lives in Arizona, and he works for a company that makes cruise missiles. And we happened to talk, and he said, well, business wasn't doing very well until the war started. He says, those things cost $1 million a piece to shoot off these cruise missiles, and they just shot off over 500 of them in the first night. So he says, my business will pick up, I'm sure. That's just for one little section, right? Rome was fighting on all fronts. They were fighting in Africa, they were fighting in the Middle East, they were fighting in England and in Germany, and these wars just kept piling up money, and they just kept going in farther and farther and farther into debt to fight these wars. The United States today, we're $21 trillion in debt. Now, when I tell seventh graders that, I just say thank you, because you're going to pay for that, because I'll be dead long before that ever gets paid off. Right? So I thank you in advance. $21 trillion is a lot of money. Not that we don't need our military, and we need our military to be strong, but I think we need to be selective in what we're doing. I think we need to pray for our military and for our leaders making the decisions for our military. $21 trillion in debt. That doesn't all go into that, but that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for our government to have to figure out if we were ever called for it to pay it off. That would be a staggering sum. I think I figured it out. It was $160,000 or $170,000 per citizen in the country. So hopefully we don't get called on that, because my wallet's not that deep. I don't know about yours. Go ahead. The collapse of the middle class. In Rome, you have two groups of people. You have the really, 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 really rich people, called patricians, and then the really, really, really poor people called plebeians. There wasn't a middle class. They didn't need a middle class because most of the work was done by slaves. Rome went out and conquered people, and they just kept bringing in slaves and slaves. And I tell kids at school, slaves were cheaper than a pack of gum. You could get slaves so easily, you could be the poorest person in Rome and still afford a slave. There's no reason for the middle class, there's no reason to have them, because all the jobs are taken up by slaves. And I'm not saying that our middle class is going away, but there's a big disparity in our country when our people of our government, or not our government, but our companies are making hundreds of millions of dollars a year, and their workers are having a hard time surviving on their income. There's a big disparity between our rich and our middle class. Our middle class in America has been the backbone of our country, but we're really going to have to look at what we can do to bring our middle class back to where it was. You look back in the 1950s after the war, after World War II. And man, you couldn't produce enough washing machines, dryers, and refrigerators, and cars, and houses. And the middle class was thriving. And this country is the greatest generation. They survived the war, and then they built the economy huge after that. Our middle class is going down. Our middle class is really, I think, hurting in our country. The Romans didn't have a middle class, so they did things to help their poor people. They provided the Colosseum so that the poor people could go there and watch people fight to death for entertainment. They went to the Circus Maximus, which is a big racetrack where people could go and watch the horse races and chariot races. They give free apartments to the poor people. They gave free water. A lot of the, you don't think about drinking things in Rome, right? They didn't have the Pepsi and Mountain Dew and coffee and all that stuff. They had wine, they had water, and the water out of the Tiber River was so polluted, you wouldn't last long to drink it. And so they had to bring water in from the mountains outside of Rome, sometimes 12 miles in aqueducts to bring water to the poor people. If not, poor people revolted. And they had to feed them. They gave them free food. I'm not saying that government assistance is bad. I'm just saying that if you look at how they had their government assistance and giving out food, giving out water, giving out apartments, all of the stuff to help people, we need to strengthen our middle class so that our middle class can help themselves instead of the government helping them. Because there's a big parallel between the Roman poor and our middle class, I feel, today. Go ahead, Jason. Loss of morals. I could go on a lot about what's happening in America with morals, but you just look at TV, movies, music, whatever it is. TV ads, that just all it is about sex. It really is. In Rome, there was a huge loss of morals. Sexual immorality was a big issue. Adultery, infidelity, it was a common thing. These three leaders, I bring them up because I talk about these guys a lot in seventh grade. These, I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat, whether you like our president or don't like our president, the last presidents, whoever it is, none of our presidents has been like these guys, okay? I'm just telling you. If you want an impeachment, here's where we go, all right? Tiberius was an emperor who kept small groups of young boys basically chained so that he could torture them physically, sexually, mentally. And he's the leader of Rome. Nero was a known serial killer. He would sneak out of the palace and go out at night and stab people to death just for his own entertainment. He'd come back covered in blood, and the guards would just look away. Commodus, that's where we get the word for our toilet, commode. They had public bathrooms in Rome, and when Rome became broke, he thought, I'll charge people to use the bathroom. And he put guards in front of them, and you couldn't go to the bathroom unless you paid so much. And so they started nicknaming the bathrooms the commode after this guy. But he liked to dress up as young girls that he had killed and stolen their clothing from them and go out in public to places like the Colosseum and things like that just to get attention from people. And the people of Rome hated him for that, but he thought it was funny. And he would dress up as a woman quite often just to make people, I think, cringeworthy. And he's the leader of their country, right? And this is just the top three here, you know? We're not talking about the average citizen, but adultery was a way of life. Abortion was quite common in Rome. Infanticide, killing kids once they were born. Because the Romans were so poor, they couldn't afford to raise kids. Before the Emperor Hadrian, parents often sold their kids into slavery. Josh, Jesse, I bet you guys are happy that doesn't happen anymore, right? Dad might have got a tempted and said, get out of here, right? Hadrian put an end to that, but it was still quite common for infanticide. People were so poor, they couldn't raise kids. And so they killed them as soon as they were born. Look at that in America today. The idea of abortion is so common. We're fighting that struggle. As Christians, we need to pray and pray and pray over this subject because it's a big issue. There's push by certain politicians to be able to kill a baby up until the time it's born. Up until the time it's born. How far are we from killing them after they're born? Like Rome did. We're close. You know, there's parallels here that just aren't, to me, amazing that our politicians don't see these things. The loss of the compromise spirit. Man, look at Congress. Whether you're on the Democratic or Republic side, these guys can't work together for nothing. Roman politicians didn't want to work together. They didn't trust each other. They didn't like each other. So they refused to work with each other. And just Rome started to fall apart. When buildings needed repaired, walls needed repair, Rome needed more funds for the military, they just refused to do it. Sound familiar? And we're really close. You know, our politicians will not work together for the good of the people of America. Again, what can we do for them? We got to pray. We got to pray for those people. This is that spirit of compromise. They've got to work together. Whether they like each other or not, they've got to work together. Go ahead, Jason. Natural disasters. Natural disasters was a big problem in Rome, and especially 79 and 80 AD. If you're not familiar, the city of Pompeii in 79 AD, August, I think it's 23rd or 24th, it's just a normal, ordinary day in Pompeii. Pompeii is in the southern part of Italy, and it's kind of a vacation spot for a lot of the rich and politicians and stuff like that. The next day, Mount Vesuvius erupted, and Pompeii is gone. Within a few years, they don't even know where it's located anymore. Imagine everything you know, houses, you know, the buildings, trees, all the landmarks you're used to going to, they no longer exist, right? The next year, in 80 AD, Rome burned. 10 out of the 14 major neighborhoods in Rome burnt to the ground. When cities like that, when fire started, it was a big problem because, you know, fire departments didn't do a whole lot. As a matter of fact, in Rome, the fire department would come to your house if it was on fire and negotiate a price for them to help put out your house. And if you didn't pay it, then they just let it burn. Right? And then they'd negotiate a really, really small payment that they would pay you for your property because now it's useless to you. Okay, so they'd have to negotiate it first before they saved it. But that was just a problem. But the big problem is in these two, and I would say this is probably the biggest difference between the United States, and I'd say it's not parallel, is that Rome didn't do much. The government didn't do much. And there's an old saying, you know, that Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Nero was learning how to play the violin. I thought it was funny today. I come in, I was going to talk about this, and Carsey's up here playing the violin. I'm like, man, everything's just lining up here. It's just crazy. There wasn't a whole lot that Nero could do personally to go out and stop the fires. But we don't expect our president to go out and stop the fires in California or the earthquakes that happen. But the leader needs to be that consul in chief, that person who's going to help people, to give them strength, to give them hope. Nero's like, if it burns, it burns. You know? If it goes, it goes. And then he turned and said, okay, people start getting mad at him. Well, don't blame me. You know who is really the problem here? It's those Christians. None of this happened until they came around. Let's kill them instead. And this one, we get the big persecution of the Christians. Christians were fed to the lions. They were crucified. They were killed for being Christians. And Nero thought this would do two things. Number one, it would save his butt. It didn't. And he thought it would get rid of these Christians that he didn't like. It didn't. Even though the Christians are being persecuted and killed, it's a whole different message that Rome had never had. Rome is one about blood and toughness and not, you know, love isn't in the Roman spirit. And the Christianity is now teaching about love, loving each other, loving one another, teaching that love will overcome even the emperors. And people are drawn to it. And they're coming to it. Even though people are dying, more and more and more and more people are coming to it because it's a message they needed. All right? Our natural disasters, I think the United States does a great job of getting there. And we help not only our natural disasters, but disasters around the world. And I think that's one big thing that we have. But as Christians, I think we need to lead that charge as well. Our prayers, every time a natural disaster happens, need to go right there to that. You know, California right now is burning. They can't keep the electric on and not have fires. It's just the way it is in California. I personally would never want to live out there. Just fires, earthquakes, all that stuff. Yeah, they can keep all that stuff out there. But our government needs to respond. Our prayers from us need to respond to the people that are living there. Even if their political views are different than ours. And that's, I think, sometimes it's hard as Christians for us to look at that. All right, Jason. Invasion at the borders. Rome's invaded by two groups. The Visigoths, it always cracks me up because every once in a while we get those kids that are saying, I'm Gothic, and they like to wear dark clothes and the dark makeup. And I'm like, yeah, I can dress up as someone from 2,000 years ago too. You know, it's, you're not new. You're just bringing something back from a long time ago. The Visigoths were a group of German people before Germany is a country. There's a couple of tribes there, the Visigoths and the Vandals. The Vandals, that's where we get the word vandalize. The Vandals come into Rome and destroy Rome, tear up all the property, steal of anything of value, and they leave real quick. And so the Romans start to say, we've been vandalized, and we've used that word ever since. Romans are split on how to deal with the invasions from the north. Some of the people say, let's build a wall. Build it tall, build it long, don't let anybody in. Other people say, we give them citizenship, make them part of us, and they won't want to hurt us. Man, can we find parallels there today in our society? Wow. It's not to the northern border. For us, it's to the southern border. And I'm not saying what ways will which. I'm just saying that look what they did. They eventually, Rome starts to fall apart and other issues start to come about. And the Visigoths and the Vandals come in and basically take over everything. But look at their issues. You know? There is a discussion, what do we do when people want into our country illegally? Here we are 2,000 years going, what do we do? Our politicians need to look a little bit of history, I think, too. Now, last one, Jason. Christianity has a big issue with Romans' fall. Christianity was not an official religion in Rome until the 4th century. Constantine will be the first leader of Rome who okays Christianity. We think he was baptized on his deathbed, although there's some skeptics either way whether he was or not. But he does allow Christianity to start to become an official religion without being persecuted and killed for that. By that time, Rome split into two different empires. We have the old Roman Empire and we have the Byzantine Empire. And the politicians are not happy with the ideas that Christianity holds. The politicians, the people in charge, don't like the message that Christianity is given. Things like God was more important than the emperor. The emperors are always taught in something that scholars would use, would say the divine rights. I'm in charge because God put me there. Now, we do know that God puts people in charge that he wants in charge. But they say, I'm special because of it. That's the tipping point, right? You're not more special than God just because you're the leader. People did not want to hear that God was more important than the Emperor of Rome. Emperors of Rome were worshipped. Some of them made their, Nero made his horse a god that everybody had to worship. He would take down a Christian church and put his horse in front of the pulpit, and everybody was a member had to come up and look at the horse on Sunday because the horse was in charge. People, the rulers didn't like to hear the fact that the emperor was overruled by God. Sexual immorality, again, was not a Christian value. We look at our stuff in our society today. Man, you guys know what Axe body spray is? If you don't, you haven't taught 7th and 8th graders. Okay? Because it's like a substitute for a shower. Kids will come in, boys will come in with this stuff and just spray it all over, and they'll spray it in the hallway, and it will stink for days and days. But on that bottle, it'll say, I forget exactly how it says, you'll feel so clean you want to be dirty. And our kids in middle school are spraying that stuff like it's some kind of a love potion or something. I don't know. It's awful. And it doesn't smell good when you get like a whole bunch of it, especially going around. But, you know, messages like that that we're sending to our kids, we need to pray about that, because our kids in America are under attack. I got another idea for something, if Mart ever is not here, talking about our kids, that kind of come to me when I was doing this. Our kids are really, really under attack. Satan knows. He knows. He wants to get to us. You get to the kids first before they're, because they're impressionable. Get them before they can get the grown value, Christian values that we want them to have. I mentioned the abortion was an accepted thing in Rome. Again, we need to talk about that with people. I love the fact, what's the group that, Heartbeat, that comes in? We support Heartbeat. If you don't support Heartbeat, please consider doing that. These people go out and they talk to these young girls, and they work with these young girls to hopefully get these girls to make good decisions to save those lives of those babies. And every penny we can give to them is great. Every prayer we can give to them is even better, because that's right here in our backyard too. So keep that idea. Another thing that was in Rome was, Christians started to really start to speak out about what we today would call human trafficking. All right? People in Rome, that was pretty common. The slaves were used for many, many different reasons, but human trafficking was a big thing. Human trafficking is big, a big problem. And it's not necessarily in New York or Los Angeles. The number one place in America every year for the number of arrests in human trafficking is Columbus, Ohio. During the Arnold Schwarzenegger Fest, there are more arrests there than any other city in the country. The second place in the United States is Toledo, Ohio. We got a road that links the two real close to us. Again, it's something we need to pray about, and we need to help with those issues. Love was not the way the Romans dealt with things. And Christianity started saying we need to love, love, love. And again, this was another wedge that was driven between politicians and eventually helps to lead of Rome, the end of Rome. Again, not saying that I'm out building my doomsday shelter. All right, I probably wouldn't tell you if I was, but just saying. But I'm not saying the world, our country is falling apart this week or this month. But there's too many parallels here. And as a country, as citizens of this country, Christians, we can change it because we have the power of God behind us. And we have the power. And those that want abortion, those that want, allow those types of things, we have the power over that because we can at least pray about it. We can pray about it. So, well, another good thing about being here instead of school, I don't have to give you a test. All right, so we'll kind of leave it at that. And that's my message for today. But pray for our leaders. All right? Let's do that right now. All right, let's go to prayer. Father, we pray for the leaders of our country, whether they're the local mayor, elected sheriff, the governor of the state legislator, the president, members of Congress, members of the Supreme Court. Lord, we pray that all of them will turn to you when they make their decisions. When they make decisions for the country, we want them to be decisions that you led them to. Those that are not of the Christian faith, we ask that you let somebody reach into their lives. Because we know that you can change lives, and we know if we pray for our country, you'll protect our country. So be with our leaders, protect them, guide them, be with them, and help them to work together for the betterment of our people and the betterment of your kingdom. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. No, don't clap.